Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Relatively Sane by Whitney Dineen, narrated by Madeline Rozek. Prologue. As a kid, I had an ongoing fantasy. I'm waiting for the school bus to pick me up in front of my family farm when a shiny black Lincoln Town Car pulls up next to me. A very attractive woman in the back seat rolls down her window and bursts into tears. She gasps, "Buffy, is that you?" Note, I might have been enthralled with the television show Buffy the Vampire Slayer at the time. I was definitely a fan of the name. The woman and her equally handsome husband leap out of the car and throw their arms around me, engulfing me in a cloud of Chanel No. 5 and Versace Man. Between sobs of joy, she calls to her husband, "Charles, it's our baby! It's really her!" They tighten their embrace, and I become the filling in a Pendleton wool sandwich. This wonderful, loving, perfectly ordinary couple decked out in city clothes explains how there was a mix-up at the hospital where I was born. Their baby, and another, were returned to the wrong bassinets after feeding time. They only discovered the truth when the person they thought was their daughter ran off and joined the circus as it passed through their town. The woman says, "We knew then and there a mistake had been made. A child of ours would never dream of such nonsense." In retrospect, I realize I hadn't thought this through very well. I should have wondered what kind of parents wouldn't go after the child they'd raised and save her from a life of carny living. At the time, I was too involved in my fantasy and the comforting explanation of why I was growing up in a near-insane asylum, a.k.a. Masterton Hall, a.k.a. an old farmhouse in central Illinois. It was much easier to convince myself that I didn't belong to the people who laid claim to me. I was Buffy Summers, and my real family wasn't embarrassing in the least. This fantasy got me through some tough times, like when my grandmother Nan called my Little League coach a fukakta screwball who needed his eyes examined. I consoled myself that we didn't share the same blood. As such, the shame I was feeling wasn't really my own. When my dad showed up to all my school functions wearing a kilt and boasting about the joys of being Scottish, I was comforted that the wrong girl was being called Catriona Masterton. When my mother bought 6 sauerkraut crocks because they were on sale, even though she hated sauerkraut, I said to myself, "Cat, these aren't your people. Don't lose hope. Your real parents will find you and take you away from all this." When my brother Travis started to walk around the house in my mom's high heels, I reminded myself that Buffy was an only child. It wasn't until high school that I finally accepted the Summers were no more than wishful thinking on my part, and that I belonged to the Masterton clan, hook, line, and sinker. Part of my acceptance was because I'd fallen head over heels in love with my childhood playmate, Sam Hawking. Sam and I frolicked in the mud, learned to play cards, and studied for science tests together, before discovering more adult games in the hayloft of my family barn. He gave my life meaning. He was enough reason to give up my dream of belonging to a normal family. If I wanted a life with him, I needed to stay right where I was. Goodbye, Summers family. Hello, kooky Mastertons. Sam made me feel things I'd never felt before. My body blossomed under his touch. My heart filled to the point of bursting, and my dreams shot out of the stratosphere. There was nothing he and I couldn't do, be, or achieve as long as we were together. While my family was as odd as they came, around Sam, I felt relatively sane. I'd even given us a celebrity couple name, Sam Cat. Tragically, as often happens with first loves, we ultimately went our separate ways. The end of high school was the end of us. I was crushed, as it wasn't my idea to break up. But college eventually softened the pain, and my life moved on. My subsequent move to New York City propelled me into adulthood, which is where I met Ethan. For 2 years, Ethan and I were a good couple. We were grown-ups together. We paid a mortgage, put money away for retirement, and we planned a wedding. Ethan was as different from Sam as I could find in a man. He's what I thought I wanted, what I thought I needed. I was wrong. I brought Ethan home to meet my family over Thanksgiving, and it didn't quite go according to plan. My parents surprised me by inviting Sam to join us. It had been 14 years since I'd laid eyes on my first boyfriend. The feelings I thought were long dead began to revive. The life I had mapped out for myself was sucked into a black hole, never to be seen again. My past and future collided in such a way, a whole new universe was born. Pet Cemetery. Cat! My mom screams from the rafters. Come up here! Where are you? I holler back. In the attic! The entrance to the attic is in the upstairs hallway via a skinny staircase that drops down from the ceiling right next to the bathroom. I want to go up there about as much as I wanted to go into strangers' basements as a child, or now for that matter. In general, I'm not a fan of the creepy nether regions of old houses. Upstairs, I see my mom Maggie, or Mags as her friends call her, has started to clear out the garret for the move to town. My parents have finally decided to downsize to a more manageable house. This one is too big for their needs. Mom's been dropping stuff willy-nilly from the opening in the ceiling, and as a result, the hallway is full of an array of treasures. I jump aside to avoid being hit by an ancient dressmaker form from the 70s that's still wearing a half-made patchwork skirt. I step around a pile of old Halloween costumes from Travis's and my childhood and trip over a brown corduroy beanbag chair I don't think I've ever seen before. I have to shove stuff out of my way to make contact with the floor. I had no idea my parents had such a collection up there. Having said that, my mom recently told me she's storing 15 banker boxes full of recipes she's clipped from newspapers and magazines. Mostly stolen from the library and various waiting rooms around town. The woman is like an onion. You pull back one layer, and there's a whole new layer of crazy just waiting to make you cry. When I finally ascend the rickety stairs to the attic, I'm greeted by a sight so startling it renders me speechless. Mags is standing next to the oval ox-eye window, with light streaming in on her, showcasing a moose head she's wearing. Big, black, shiny marble eyeballs stare back at me. I eventually tear my gaze away from her to look around. The whole space could double for an animal sacrifice scene straight out of a horror flick. There are squirrels, deer, and even a buffalo head. A beaver with little buck teeth and a demented smile leers at me. Wow, who knew you guys were this kind of nuts? This is beyond the bounds of even my imagination, and I grew up with you. My mom pulls off the moose head. Oh, please, this is nothing. Your dad has gotten rid of most of the good stuff over the years. He sold the French mountain sheep when we needed money to repair the tractor, and the Indian leopard so we could take that trip to Alaska. She takes a breath and appears to be preparing herself for something. Finally, she spits it out. I thought you might be able to use some of this in the barn when you fix it up for your parties. Now might be the time to mention I'm the one purchasing my parents' farm. I'm a party planner by trade. Despite having a successful business in NYC, I've realized it's time to build my nest closer to home. A lot closer to home, if you consider that I'll be hanging my shingle on the barn in the field out back. Timing was on my side, as one of my employees was in a position to buy me out, which is funding this adventure of catering to the cool millennial Chicago scene. Barns are the new it thing, as long as they don't have dead animals in them. How do you envision me doing that? Maybe by prying open the beaver's mouth and stuffing an apple into it before using it as a centerpiece on the buffet table? Don't be ridiculous, my mom sputters. I was thinking you could hang the heads on the walls and strategically place the squirrels and smaller animals so they're peeking around corners. It would be totally authentic, don't you think? Manure piles and livestock would be authentic as well, but I don't see that working. Thanks for thinking of me, though. If you won't take them, what am I supposed to do with them? My mom demands. Put them on Craigslist. You mean sell them? She gasps. Actually, I meant you should give them to anyone insane enough to haul them away. She visibly jolts as if this is the most absurd idea she's ever heard. Give them away? We have thousands of dollars of preserved wildlife up here. You don't just give that away. So take it with you, I suggest. And put it where? Hey, lady, you're the one who wanted to scale down and move to a smaller place. She smiles at me sweetly. Do you think we can leave them up here while we rehome them? Nope. I shake my head. Because I know rehoming isn't your goal. You're hoping you can leave them here and I'll forget them, but that's not going to happen. Now that I know Pet Cemetery is right above me, I'm going to have nightmares until it's gone. I may even have to have Reverend Abernathy perform an exorcism. Don't be ridiculous. She smiles, trying to charm me. Can you help me move them downstairs? No can do, Mom. I'll go get Dad for you, though. I have an aversion to touching taxidermied creatures, which, I assure you, made my upbringing quite a challenge. Don't bother, she snaps. I'll take care of it myself. There's a lot to do to get this house into good enough shape for my new venture. Extermination of critters, both dead and alive, has just been bumped up to the top of the list. The Naked Snow Roll. After graduating college, my childhood friend Sarah began cultivating her organic farming empire. She now supplies some of Chicago's swankiest dining establishments. Demand for her organic farm-to-table fare has taken off, propelling interest in her farm stand and yurt-style B&B. Her next venture, the Vegan Cafe, opens this summer. Her farm has become the mothership for the nutty, crunchy crowd in our neck of the woods. Sarah calls and asks, "Want to come over and try some of the new recipes I've been working on?" "I'd love to," I declare. "You would not believe what's going on here today." I tell her about my parents' collection in the attic. Sarah, a lover of all creatures, great and small, says, "Your parents aren't normal. I've accepted your dad's many taxidermied rodent decorations over the years. But really, where does it end? Are they going to stuff Nan when she dies and keep her around for company?" Just thinking about what my parents will do with my grandmother when she sheds her mortal coil sends a shiver through me. "I know you're kidding, but promise you'll never bring the idea up to them, just in case they glom onto it." It's a distinct possibility that they would. "No worries. I was only half joking. I wouldn't put it past them." She continues, "Come by at noon, and I'll have food ready for you to try." In addition to having an established, sustainable organic empire, Sarah also helps people with their health issues by running an alternative, all-natural boot camp. She detoxifies their systems with a 2-week diet of pure vegan living. She isn't always vegan herself, just vegetarian, but she claims complete abstinence of animal products is necessary to cleanse impurities from the body and align the spirit. While that's occurring, she walks her guests through guided meditations, aura cleanses, and God knows what else. Ethan and his mom have gone back to New York, right? Please, God, let them be back in New York. Nerves ping-pong across my stomach as I wait for my friend's reply. As weird as my family is, you'd think I'd have an easier time accepting the fact that my ex has moved in with my friend. Not in a romantic way. More like an, I just found out I'm on the autistic spectrum, and I'm willing to give your alternative therapies a shot at making my life easier kind of way. I always knew Ethan was rigid and a bit different, like he counted how many steps it took to get to the subway every morning. There were other things, too. He didn't like to hold hands, and was adamant that dinner plates be stored on different shelves than I put them on, like they told him their preference or something. Each thing was of no consequence on its own, but when you put them all together, they definitely added up to something. It wasn't until I saw him through my family's eyes at Thanksgiving that I realized it. The man I once thought exemplified stability suddenly seemed to be anything but stable. Once he suggested we part ways, he broke down and got the help he not only needed, but turns out desperately wanted. His obsessive-compulsive quirks weren't unrelated idiosyncrasies. They were a real diagnosis. Ethan's mother, Natalie, up and left her husband after coming here at Thanksgiving. Are you getting an idea of the fun time we had? She met Sarah at that time and decided to stay at her B&B during the holidays to try to map out her future. That's when Natalie got sucked into my friend's web of holistic wonder. How big of a problem would it be if they were still here? Sarah asks. You're kidding. They were supposed to leave last week. But they're both doing so well. I know if they stay a bit longer, I can help them launch their lives in a healthy new direction. So, you're inviting me over for lunch with Ethan and Natalie. That kind of changes my interest level in coming. They'll be on the property, but they won't be joining us. They're fasting today and sitting in the sweat lodge. They'll alternate the heat with the naked snow roll. My friend has mentioned this activity before, but I haven't had the courage to ask about it. What exactly is the naked snow roll again? It's meant to shock the system into restarting, kind of like rebooting a computer. The body needs a jolt to close down the cell memory of pre-programming. And the naked snow roll is a very effective technique. When paired with the sweat lodge, it works wonders. It sounds like it kills them before bringing them back to life. While it doesn't stop their heart, it does halt the old energy flow and allows new energy to be born. It can't take away Ethan's autism, but I can help him exercise anxiety cast upon him by a society that doesn't understand how his mind works. Or send them to the emergency room in shock. Has that ever happened? She laughs. No, only one guy ever went to the hospital afterward, but only because he thought his junk was frostbitten. It wasn't. It was just super cold. Did you warn Ethan about that? No way. That guy is always looking for the worst in everything. I don't want to plant ideas that will turn him away from getting the help he needs. How's Ethan doing with his need for routine? I ask. The 2 years we were together, he was unbending about his schedule. Even going so far as having a Monday lunch, a Tuesday lunch, and so forth. Terribly. I change things up every day to purposely deprive him of a sense of order. He hates it and threatens to leave 6 times a day, but he hasn't gone yet. My reasoning for doing this is to separate him from his ability to develop habits, so he'll be more flexible when he returns to his normal life. I snort. There was precious little about Ethan's life that would have been considered normal. How's he coping with the food? It's hard to say. He says everything tastes good, but he struggles because he misses his regular diet. I sigh mightily before declaring, Fine, I'll come over, but I really don't want to run into the Crenshaws. I say this even though just over a month ago I was planning on becoming one of them. Oh, the bullet I dodged. Fear not, you won't even see them. In fact, Ethan hasn't asked after you in 3 days. That's huge progress. I don't necessarily want my ex out of my life forever. I still love him like a friend. I just think we need a healthy amount of time apart before we can redefine our new relationship parameters. Evil geniuses and sassy girls. Nan joins me as soon as I put on my coat.
Can you take me into town to get some of my tissues? I'm all out.
Nan has had an ongoing love affair with tissues that have built-in lotion since the day they were invented. She's the only person I've ever met who feels that way. Sorry, Nan. I'm off to have lunch at Sarah's. She's working on getting her menu set up for the new cafe. My grandmother rubs her hands together.
Yummy. I'd love to come along. Thanks for asking.
She's not being sarcastic. It's how she is, and how she usually gets herself included on outings she's interested in. I was so worried Nan was going to die last month when her brain aneurysm burst that I don't have the heart to tell her she wasn't invited. Instead, I warn, it's a vegetarian cafe, so no complaining about the food. She smacks her hand against her heart in shock.
Complain? Me? Well, I never.
She's not fooling me with her innocent as a lamb routine. I'm 100% on to her little tricks, and I'm watching her like a hawk. She's behaved herself for the most part since coming home from the nursing home, but I know she could crack at any moment and go right back to her questionable ways. My grandmother is a force of nature. She immigrated to the U.S. from Scotland when she was only 3. She claims to have the sight, her term for someone who can prophesy the future, though we've never seen any evidence of this ability. And for lack of a more delicate word, she's mean. I've only recently discovered that her foul-mouth outbursts, which have been occurring for over 20 years, are not the result of the many mini-strokes she's suffered, as previously believed. She just got tired of people not paying attention to her and decided to reinvent herself as an old lady to be feared. She confessed this to me at the care facility where she was recovering from her brain surgery. Now that I know the truth, I'm making it my mission to get her to clean up her act and channel her angst into kindness. You know the old saying, you catch more flies with honey. I'll let you know how that goes. Grab your purse, Nan. I'll take you to the drugstore after we eat. Once we're in the car, I announce, Ethan and his mother are still out at Sarah's. So if you run into them, no name calling or anything.
Filthy Sassenach,
Nan mutters under her breath. Nan, I warn, I'm not engaged to Ethan anymore, so there's no point in being rude. If you can't be nice, I won't take you to the pharmacy. My family could not understand why Ethan and I were together and viewed Thanksgiving as their last opportunity to show me the error of my ways before we got married. They were successful. She demands,
The question is, why were you engaged to him? That boy isn't right in the head.
Just because he's not like everyone else doesn't mean he's not right in the head. He's aware of his differences, which is why he's staying with Sarah. He wants help, and the fact he's willing to try some of her alternative therapies proves how much he wants to change. So be nice.
Fine, she grumbles. But I'm still your grandmother. You might want to remember I could put you over my knee if you keep sassing me.
You and what are me? I laugh.
Don't tempt me, little girl. You know I'm meaner than I look.
The plain truth is, she doesn't look mean at all. But like Sam once said, he wouldn't bet against her in a street fight. Nan changes the subject by asking,
When are your mom and dad moving out of the house and leaving us bachelorettes on our own?
Nan doesn't want to go with them. She wants to stay put, and that's perfectly fine by me. I love having her around, even though she's not the most predictable creature. They close on their new place next month, right after I become the official owner of the farm. Do you think you can wait that long to start partying? She gives me the side eye.
I think I can last.
Then she asks, are you planning on staying in the basement apartment, or are you moving upstairs with me? I was actually thinking about asking her to move to the basement. I could relocate to the master bedroom, and that way we could both have our privacy. I ask, what do you think I should do?
I think you should move upstairs with me. I'll be lonely with your parents gone.
So much for privacy, but I guess I can see where she's coming from. I change the subject without confirming anything. The plumber is starting on the new pipes Monday, so we might have a week or so of inconvenience. Our plumbing is so outdated that when anyone flushes the toilet, they have to yell, "Flush!" right before they do. Because scalding hot water simultaneously pours out of any open faucet.
Good thinking, she comments. By the way, I have a great idea.
I can only imagine. I shoot my eyebrows up in question to indicate she should share it. So she does.
I was watching a show on house-to-home television the other day. You know those cute brothers who renovate people's homes for them?
I don't, because I don't watch much TV, and when I do, it's only to binge-watch something on Netflix. My latest was Ozark, and now I feel totally schooled in laundering money for the Mexican drug cartel. If I don't make a go of my new party business, that might become my retirement plan. Just kidding. I now have a healthy fear of the Ozarks, and I don't care how beautiful they are. I'm never visiting that part of Missouri again. Nan continues,
those boys are just darling. Anywho, I think you should ask them to come out and help fix the place up. I thought it would be great advertising for your new business.
My grandmother is nobody's fool. That's actually a fantastic idea. And I'm going to take her advice and check into it. It's going to be a hard sell to lure couples from Chicago out into the country 2 hours away for their weddings. But it'll be a slam dunk if they've already seen the place on national television. Nan, you're brilliant. I'll look into it as soon as we get home from Sarah's. She seems very pleased with herself and replies,
you're only now figuring that out, huh?
I shake my head and tease, I think I've always known it, but up until now, I would have classified you as more of an evil genius. I like that you're finally using your powers for good. She smacks my arms.
Sassy girl. Now hurry up and take me to lunch. I'm about to waste away here.
Nan and I drive down Highway 47 in contented camaraderie. Moments like this are the reason I came home. I plan on enjoying them to their fullest. The Vegan Pig. It's a vegan BLT, Sarah declares.
Girl, Nan says, were you dropped on your head somewhere along the line? Bacon is from a pig. There's no such thing as vegan bacon.
My friend laughs. There is if you make it from eggplant. Nan shakes her head.
That would be an ELT, not a BLT. You kids don't know what you're talking about anymore.
I want a piece of this. Eggplant bacon sounds disgusting. Couldn't you just call it a veggie sandwich? I could, but here's the thing you need to know about vegetarians, and that includes vegans. We wait expectantly for her mystical insight. All of them? Who have ever been meat eaters? Miss Bacon. Bacon is the singular item that derails most people from successfully becoming vegetarians. I guarantee having a BLT on the menu will appeal to them enormously.
Even if it's an ELT and not a BLT? Nan demands.
Sarah nods in affirmation. So my grandmother asks,
sample complete. Ready to continue?